SMS Azania on 31702.
It's now 16 minutes to 2 o'clock. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we spoke to the House of Hemp, who are one of the organizations who've been granted a license to develop medicinal cannabis products. And their license was approved along with a few others. And as you can see, as South Africa, we're proceeding quite cautiously as part of creating an industry of our own when it comes to cannabis-related products. However, the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority, SAHPRA, has been quite concerned. They have warned consumers that all medical products containing cannabis on the local market are illegal. None have been registered with the authority. And they have said that in various reports that the recent Constitutional Court ruling legalizing the cultivation and possession of cannabis for personal use did not mean that people could use it to manufacture and sell their own medicines. And yet we are seeing it at my local shopping center, for instance, on one of those slow market days. There was one particular stand with gentlemen selling a variety of products, from oils to ointments and all sorts of things. And he shared the claims around what these products are said to do and relieve. So they've gone to great lengths to make consumers aware that the court, the judgment that was handed down in September 2018 that declared existing legislation criminalizing the use, possession and cultivation of cannabis, that declared all of that unconstitutional, did not mean that you could sell your own product. So it's therefore an offense. It is an offense. It is against the rule, the laws in this country to sell these medicinal products. And we had an open line not too long ago where I asked the question about whether or not you're concerned about the efficacy, the safety of the cannabis products that you may be consuming. So they've been working with the South African police services to clamp down on illegal sales of unregistered cannabis containing products claiming medical benefits. So joining us now is the head of regulatory compliance at SAHPRA, Griffith Molewa. Good afternoon, Griffith. Thank you so much for joining us today to clarify and to further make your appeal on this particular industry and where we are. Hello.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon to your listeners.
So you've been collaborating with the police. You haven't had a successful prosecution as yet of a company or individual who may be breaking the law. Tell me a little bit about your efforts and where the challenges have been.
The challenge is that now, where the transgression of the law, we will involve the police, and the police will now start preparing their docket, which will have to be taken out to the prosecutor for the trial date. Mm-hmm. And that process can take time because it will be some verification on certain aspects. So now what do you mean by this? And then you have to clarify it goes back to and fro. Mm-hmm. So we are still in that process where we are even now trying to grab some of the documents.
So you have identified companies and individuals who are breaking this law and you are in this process of prosecuting them?
Yeah, we have identified some of the people who are breaking the law. We are working in that process. We are busy with the investigation.
Yes. And the concern also has to do with the kind of wide-ranging claims that have been made about this, you know, some calling it a wonder plant and the kinds of ailments it can assist in. What are you most concerned about?
The problem, when you look at it, I mean, some of the claims they make, they say it's good for AIDS, for instance. I mean, and AIDS, you know, it's ravaging South Africa. It's a number one of the highest killers in South Africa. So now, it hasn't been proven definitely, conclusively, that now it can be used to cure AIDS. And, I mean, people who are really ill are most vulnerable. They believe anything to get out of that situation. So that's where we are concerned from a public health perspective. So now, we cannot go and make that claim. You look at things like cancer. Yes, we know it can be, but now people are just concocting this in their backyard and then giving it out without the dosage form, the proper dosage form, and that also without looking at the purity of the product, whether it's of good quality. They just concoct it and then give it to the people. And then now from a public health perspective, that raises a lot of concern from us.
Yes, yes. So is this only relating to all cannabis-based products or those that claim to have medicinal benefit?
It relates to those that claim, which haven't been proven. Remember, I mean, there are products which are registered in other countries where they have been proven. Now, those ones we don't have a problem with, they can be brought in, but it's a different dispensation. They're not yet registered in South Africa, but they could still be used by doctors under special conditions. It's not carte blanche where everybody can just bring it in or the doctor can just bring it in. You have to apply to certain conditions.
Yes.
Those don't have a problem. But now the problem is when people now start claiming that now my grandmother used to use this thing, and that's fine. I mean, without any supporting documents, and then we say, here we're going to have a problem.
Yes, that exemption that we've also looked at in the past to Section 21 of the Medicines Act.
Do we
still only have 56 such applications that have been approved by SAPRO? Have you seen an increase in that number?
Unfortunately, I didn't check up it's in a different unit. I didn't check the numbers this morning before coming to this show.
Okay, but the last time I checked, it was about 56 applications that had been approved by SAPRO based on
that
motivation from a medical practitioner. So how far are you with your guidelines? Because about when there was that restructuring and SAPRO was given a new broader mandate, one that was also quite much more specific and broader, we had the establishment of the organization, there was talk that you are looking at guidelines to inform the industry's practices. How far are we with those?
The guideline is there on our website. The guideline is there on our website where it will inform the public on what needs to be done when you grow cannabis for medicinal use and what needs to be done. And then once an application is just lodged with us, when you do the inspection, then we'll walk with that applicant all the way and clarify certain aspects. We told you we want to know what should be done with the tattoo. I will assist you. They won't tell you, now this is how you want it, but we'll just give you a general idea, now this is how you can approach it.
Right.
And the person you left to hear.
Yes, is that then what led to the issuing of licenses to organizations like the House of Hemp in KZN, and there's also El Paso Farms here in Gauteng? I know there are a few other licenses. You've had lots of applications over the past couple of months from different people, organizations wanting to be granted cultivation licenses. But have any of them applied for manufacturing of medicinal products? Cannabis medicinal
not yet. What they've done, they've just applied for the cultivation, and some are at an advantage of applying now for the extraction of the oils to be used in the products. Now, whether these products will be manufactured locally or they're going to be exported, we'll have to wait and see, depending on the application from that particular individual.
Right.
And see how it goes now.
So if they do manufacture locally, it means further steps would be required. Because I think after we spoke to Dr. Kunene from the House of Hemp, you know, and people who are close to this particular space, they're quite excited about the potential of the potential for South Africa to not only create jobs, but for people to benefit, say, in places like the rural Eastern Cape and so on, for it to bring in more people into this into this industry.
Yeah. No, definitely it will bring out more. It's always done in a structured way.
Yeah.
Not haphazardly like now. I mean, when you look at it now, it's been done. Just do it haphazardly. But if you're going to do it in a structured way, it will definitely benefit those people. Because now we'll be working towards a standard. We'll be knowing exactly what needs to be produced. And, you know, once it's like that, then we are guaranteed, if at all I could put that way, a market, whether it be internationally or locally. I guarantee that. But if at all I'm going to do it haphazardly, that sort of thing, people will start now losing confidence in your product. And then, unfortunately, when you start exporting, they'll lose confidence in South Africa's product. They'll tell you that South African products are substandard. And not good. I want to touch it. And then it has so much repercussion which we don't normally look at.
Right. But I also see that you're looking to tighten rules for products that also claim to be food supplements. So does the type of claim or the way in which this claim, what is stated about the product, surely it matters. I took out a supplement that I take for, it's Sutherlandia and with olive leaf, you know, it's a dual supplement. And yes, it says traditional uses, viral disease, diabetes, boosts immunity, combat colds and flus. So I just thought, okay, a natural antibiotic, great. And then you have to read quite carefully because this one does state that it has to be done under the supervision of your health practitioner. And so labeling matters hugely and manufacturers need to take the right kind of precautions.
Yeah. No, it's not only cannabis or DACA or whatever only. All supplements, at the moment now, we are busy writing into law how they should be regulated. Because, I mean, when you look at our market, the health supplement market, which is worth billions and billions of rands, some of the products, I mean, they haven't been proven. Mm. You might find that now, you look at, I mean, you've just said now, Sutherlandia, the vitamins and other things. You might find that now we are giving people sub potent product.
That may be toxic. Yeah.
Yeah. Which might be a placebo. Have a placebo effect.
Mm.
And now is a patient getting benefit from that? So we are looking at strengthening that whole thing and writing the laws to regulate that arena.
All right.
Let's
hear from...
Now when you look at...
Yes, you were saying? I wanted to take a call, but you can complete your thought.
Okay. No, that's why when you look at cannabis products, we look at it from that perspective. So now it is not just an ordinary supplement. You need to use it and it's got to be registered.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to Paul and Davidson with the question. Hi, Paul.
Hi, good day to you.
Yes.
I just want to find out from the guest, is it Griffin? What's his name again?
Griffith Mulewa.
Mulewa.
Yes.
Just want to find out, if I take an apple, right, and then make it powder, for an example, and you find that that apple treats a certain health condition, does it have to be registered? Because it, or what is a supplement? Because it's not a supplement, to my understanding.
Okay. Griffith?
Okay, can I answer?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you have to start now going back now into the Act governing medicine. We look at the definition of what is a medicine.
Mm.
It's anything, a substance or a mixture of substances used or purported to be used for the mitigation, the treatment, you know, of diseases. Once you start now looking at that arena, you enter into that arena, then you say that definitely it's a medicine, it has to be registered. Yes. When you look at supplements, they follow a certain path of registration.
Mm-hmm.
It might not be as stringent as the normal medicine, but they have to follow a certain path. That's what we are looking at.
Okay.
I mean, it's a good example. I mean, that apple example, if you tell you took a pectin from the apple and then it's for constipation, then it's a medicine.
Right.
But if you tell you, is that for roughage, I eat the apple and the apple skin and that whole thing, that's a food supplement.
Okay.
It all boils down to the intention of the product.
Right. Okay. And that determines how it will be then categorized under the law and the procedures that need to follow.
Mm.
Well, Griffith, thank you so much for coming on this afternoon, because we do see a proliferation of these products. And I know we're proceeding with caution and trying to do the right thing, not just for consumers, but also for the economy. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Well, thank you for listening.
Thank you. Griffith Mulewa, the head of regulatory compliance at SAHPRA. So do go onto their website at SAHPRA, SAHPRA, that is the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority, .org.za.